All right. You're listening to Green Left Radio. And on the line, we have Elena Garcia. Elena Garcia is actually a farmer based in... I think it was parts of Queensland. You can introduce me. You can introduce yourself of what, which part of Queensland you're from. But Elena Garcia is a long time, is a member, I guess, of Socialist Alliance and has just recently been part of producing a document called the Socialist Plan for a Rural and Regional Code Recovery. Elena Garcia is also one of the co-authors of the book, Sustainable Agriculture, which was released by Resistance Books, which kind of gives a very kind of strong kind of anti-capitalist analysis of agriculture. So, good morning, Elena.
Good morning, Jacob.
Okay, so the first, I guess, question, I guess, to kind of ask is to start off, I guess, a bit of this discussion we wanted, I guess, to have. You begin, I guess, the document by writing that regional communities across Australia are facing three intertwining crises: ecological, economic, and social. And I guess, can you give us a bit of an overview of what the nature of these kind of crises are, especially in terms of agriculture?
Rural Australia has been in crisis for a long time because farm gate prices have been held down by the supermarkets, so that farmers are to the point where costs of production are getting greater than the price that they are getting for that what they produce. The supermarkets are taking all the profits. So that means farmers are dependent on off-farm jobs, and increasingly there aren't any. And increasingly the only ones there are in the mining industry, and it's the mining industry that is the greatest risk to sustainable farming because the mining industry pollutes the water that we depend on. So that's a crisis that's been happening since the late 70s when Whitlam, for all the good stuff that he did, closed down the boards that used to set a fair price for basic commodities like eggs, milk and the rest. So since then, farmers have just been going broke. And the government departments that used to support farmers with technical advice have also been closed down and privatised and contracted out. So that set the scene. Then climate change impacts started to hit. We've had droughts in New South Wales and Queensland that have been going for more than 7 years, that are just wiping out farming communities because farmers are broke. Farmers don't get the dole. It's only been since Abbott, sadly, that they've even brought in the farm living at household allowance. That was the equivalent of the dole for farmers, and originally you only got it for 3 years for your entire life. Now they've increased it so that you can get it for a maximum of 10 years. The problem is when you've got a drought that's extending for 10 years, at a certain point, that's it. You've got no income. If you've got no income, then your local community's got no income, and communities are closing down. So then on top of that, bonus, we got the pandemic. So a lot of communities now are surviving on mining income or tourism income. And with the catastrophic bushfires in December 2019, that was the first massive hit to tourism, followed by the over-allocation of water in the Murray-Darling, which meant that a lot of regional New South Wales towns literally ran out of drinking water, which is also not a good look for tourism. And then you got the pandemic. So suddenly regional Australia has got no jobs, no income, businesses are closing down, young people have to go to the cities to work, which means that local services close down, schools, hospitals and the like. It's just a complete disaster.
I guess now going into, I guess, the next kind of question is, part of the reason, I guess, you produced this document was as a kind of counter to the kind of federal government's kind of gas-led kind of recovery, which has actually been, in some sense, actually been heavily touted as being good for farming and agricultural rural communities. And I guess, why should those people in those communities oppose the federal government's gas-led recovery?
Well, my nearest town is Chinchilla, and Chinchilla has been run by the CSG industry for the past 10 years or more, and it's a great example. So what we got in Chinchilla was, from going from an agricultural-supported town, we went to a mining town. So first of all, the house prices went through the roof so that you couldn't afford to buy a place here. Then the rental prices went up, so anyone on a low income couldn't afford to rent here. So we, for a while, we had people who were living in caravans at the local showgrounds, but a lot of people just had to leave town. Then the local businesses, instead of getting a boom from the CSG industry, what happened was the CSG industry got all their stuff from Brisbane because it's cheaper. They get bulk discounts and they bring it out. So local businesses started going broke. At the same time, the water that was pumped out by the CSG industry has dropped local bores in the Surat Basin in some places up to 200 metres, right? So they're unsustainably using the water. In the process of bringing the water up out of the ground, it goes through the coal seams, which are full of carcinogens, which are fairly securely locked away in the coal seams until you force the water through them to bring the gas up, and that brings all the carcinogens up to the surface. And they're then stored in big dams. And what happens in big dams in floods is that all the water in the dams overflows and it goes downriver, it goes over the farmland, and those toxins are spread far and wide. And Chinchilla is up the top of the Murray-Darling Basin, so any poisons up here are going to be working their way down. And now, because the CSG industry is past the construction stage and down to the maintenance stage, that means that all the jobs that they had building it have shrunk down to a handful of jobs to maintain it. So all in all, it has been a catastrophe for Chinchilla and communities like us. And a lot of farmers from the Pilliga came up and had a look at Chinchilla to see how we went with the CSG industry, and that's one reason why they have backbones of steel when it comes to trying to stop it being established down in New South Wales.
Mm.
So as far as extending that all over Australia, disaster. All the gas-led recovery is a handout to corporate supporters of the LNP government. That's all it is.
Mm. And I guess now we can go into, I guess, talking a bit now about, I guess, the kind of document. It's because you've given kind of like a very good kind of background to, I guess, some of the kind of issues. I guess, what is the socialist kind of solution to, I guess, these issues? And I guess, what can you tell us about some of the demands and measures that you are kind of proposing as part of the socialist plan for rural and regional COVID recovery and why they are kind of necessary?
Well, I think you've only got to look at the success story of the pandemic, which has been the job seeker allowance, the COVID allowance that they gave to people. Even though it makes me laugh that it was an LNP government that was forced to do it, but the end result has been of giving people extra money to bring them up to the minimum wage or at least to a living income, it's kept the economy going, and the economy's gone really well. So one of the most important things that we've put forward is that you should guarantee a living income, not less than the minimum wage, to everybody in regional Australia, employed or not, to keep communities alive and viable. Because we have to have communities out here. We have to have people here to manage the land, to look after our water catchments, to look after our environment, to produce clean food. And we can't be out here without supporting communities and businesses, schools, hospitals and the rest. And they found where they've experimented with giving people an income supplement, it brings people out of poverty. Well, it certainly did in Australia for the first time. People were brought out of poverty. And in other places where they've tried it, they found that people still keep going to work. They do everything they used to do, but suddenly they can afford to spend, and that keeps their local businesses going and that keeps their communities healthy. So the first priority would have to be to guarantee a living income to everybody. Then you need to support farmers to transition from the environmentally genocidal industrial agriculture system to regenerative agriculture and arid-friendly crops to build drought resilience and to sequester carbon in soils, because this is a huge tool we should be using to get carbon out of the air. And all industrial agriculture is doing is destroying the living life in our soils that feeds our plants. It's destroying our insects, insect Armageddon, which we've noticed out here. Even I'm out in the boondocks, the headwaters of the Murray Darling, and we've noticed a huge decrease in the insects that we have, and there's no spraying around us. And as a you know, don't have insects, you don't have birds, you don't have everything that lives on insects, so it's just an ongoing catastrophe. And you need to put... You need to take water out of corporate hands. We've got to stop this water speculation and commodification of water that the Howard government brought in. We've got to put the deciding power over water allocation into community hands, and we need to close the industries that poison water and make them pay to fix it. And we also, what goes hand in hand with that is we need a federal ICAC, Commission Against Corruption, that is independently funded and has the power to jail the criminals, because water is one of the most, or water allocations is one of the most corrupt areas for politicians. There are very obvious links between who gets the water and who makes donations to the LNP and the ALP. We need to flush out the corruption. I'd think they would be some of the major ones. There's a whole list there. There's a whole list of constructive solutions.
Yeah, Elena, hi, it's Zane here. The policy also looks at providing farmers with the incentives to transition to arid-friendly crops and regenerative methods. We will have to wrap up soon, but I was hoping you could comment on that aspect of the plan and what that would look like.
Well, we have to look at how we farm, because it's linked with how we care for our environment. And we also have to keep food affordable for everyone, which means that somehow we have to be able to give farmers enough money that they can make a living without working off farm. Now, in other countries, they have agricultural subsidies. In Australia, we don't. But what we do have is something that worked in the past, which was the land army they used in World War II, which sent people out into the countryside to help farmers work. We should set something like that up, something voluntary, with the federal government committing to pay people to volunteer to participate, award wages, award conditions, and full insurance, because farmers can't afford to do it, board them, set up a way of travelling them around, because a lot of farm workers seasonal work, so that farmers have the people who can help them switch to regenerative methods, because regenerative methods take more workers. It's a lot more... It takes more work than going out on your tractor and spraying fungicides and pesticides and weed killers, which happen to kill the soil microbes. So we need more farm workers, but it's hard work, so they need fair pay, and farmers can't afford to do it. So because it's a social benefit to have clean food and clean production methods, and it's also a social benefit for people to have jobs and ways of gaining skills, then I think it would be a great idea if we put the money that we're presently throwing into the pockets of the gas industry into paying for this sort of a mobile workforce.
The policy also looks at, I'm thinking you would probably be familiar with Raj Patel's work and this idea of the hourglass model of food production and distribution. We've got a whole bunch of farmers growing the food and producing it, and then you've got a whole bunch of workers buying the food. But in the middle of this hourglass-shaped distribution model is the supermarkets who control that distribution, and they give the farmers a low price for what they produce, and then they charge a high price to the workers, and they cream all this profit off. And your part of the policy is looking at nationalising the major supermarkets and converting them into cooperatives under farmer, transport worker and community control. And I was hoping you could comment a bit on that aspect of this new policy.
Well, I think that's a pretty important demand, really, because the network's already there. We need a way to get food to people, and we need to take the profiteering out of it, cut out the middleman, so that the profits go back into truckie and farmer and community pockets rather than into supermarket profits. So I think the simplest thing would be to simply nationalise the setup that's already established, which covers the whole country very efficiently, and yes, put it into community hands, put it into the hands of those who use it. The franchisees of Woolworths, they should be fairly compensated. That's only fair. Maybe they stay on to help management, maybe not. But certainly we cut the corporate owners of Woolies and Coles right out of the picture, because all they are ticks, really, leeches. Mm. We don't need them.
Totally.
Yep. The other thing that we need is to turn back the clock against the privatisation policies of our major parties. So we need to re-establish our rural banks that supply long-term low-interest loans to sustainable farmers and the businesses that support them. And we also need state insurance offices like the GIO, so that we can take the profiteering element out of loans and insurance policies and use them the way they should be used to help sustainable businesses survive. Because at the moment, it's extremely hard. Farmers are at the front line of climate change. We're dealing with the droughts, the bushfires, the floods. It's only getting worse. And we need a hand, but at the moment, you go to the banks are one of the worst enemies that farmers have, because they gouge on the interest rates they supply, and insurance is becoming something that nobody can afford. And that's ridiculous. That's tools that should be available, not scalping devices.
Right. Well, Elena, We're just running out of time, I guess, now. Do you have, I guess, any kind of final comments you would like to kind of make?
I really like this document, because I think it's a major tool to put power back in the hands of communities and take it out of politicians, to turn things on their heads. Politicians should be accountable to their local communities. But at the moment, the only ones that are accountable are the corporations. And I think demands like the ones put forward in this plan are a way that we can all prosper, and our environment can get a whole lot better, and we can actually fix some of these major problems that we've got in front of us. So I would really strongly suggest that people download it, have a look, see what you think. And if you like it, take it to your local councillor or next election, state, local, federal, go and ask the candidates, will you support this? Will you support at least some of the slogans in this? Because these are a constructive way forward.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Elena. And, just for listeners' information, you can actually read the full document it's available on the Socialist Alliance website. If you go to the Socialist Alliance website, or you can even go on greenleft.org.au, where it's also printed there. So, yeah.
And it's called A Socialist Plan for Rural and Regional COVID Recovery.
All right. Well, thanks for that, Zane. And, thank you very much, Elena, for being on our program.
My pleasure. Thanks very much for giving me a chance to speak.
Cheers, Elena.
Okay, so we're just talking to Elena Garcia, who is a long-time farmer and also an activist with the Socialist Alliance, who was part of developing the Socialist Plan for a COVID. What was the title again?
Socialist Plan for Rural and Regional COVID Recovery.
Yeah. We kind of said before, you can read that document online on the Socialist Alliance or the Green Left kind of website. Now, just go play a quick announcement, and then we'll go on to the Green Left Active Calendar, which we're kind of doing a bit late, but it's better late than never. You're listening to Green Left Radio.